Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Dangerous World Podcast. Very excited to bring a guest. You guys know I don't do a ton of guests on the show, and I've been connected with a very nice lady that is just making me meet all kinds of really cool people, including this gentleman here, Tom Palladino. Very, very excited to talk with you, man, about something that I misunderstood when I first looked into it a little bit. Scalar energy is what you're all about, and I thought that it was focused on perpetual energy, but it sounds like there's a healing element of some kind as well. So I really want to get right into this. But first of all, I got to ask how you're doing, and I want you to plug everything that you have so that my audience can find you.
Okay. I think the easiest way, thanks for the invite, by the way. The easiest way, go to my website. What I'm going to speak about is somewhat esoteric today. Go to the website, scalarlight.com. That's your best bet, because I have discovered so many, if you will, what I consider groundbreaking efforts that could serve to change the way we look at quantum health, energetic health. I'm the, if you will, the originator. I'm in my laboratory for a reason. I want to show my unique approach. So if you will, what I'm doing is quite unique. It's never been duplicated. So the only website on the planet is scalarlight.com that contains my information.
Scalarlight.com. Great. Yeah, man. I mean, so I listened to a couple of your episodes that you've done on, you know, other people's shows, and the things that you talk about are very interesting. First of all, I think the logical spot to start is both, what is scalar energy? How did you get into it? I think that's just the like I said, the obvious spot to begin this.
Nikola Tesla was the first man to harness scalar energy. Now, to be clear, scalar energy is not electricity. There's two types of energy. We have electromagnetic energy, and the other energy, scalar energy, what some people call zero-point energy. Both are valid. Both follow specific scientific principles. I wanted to study scalar energy because I realized it was perpetual energy. It's the energy of the sun and the stars. Tesla realized that also. And my druthers is to see the world powered by scalar energy, which is clean energy from the sun and the stars, as opposed to electromagnetic energy or nuclear energy. There's just it's head over heels. There's no comparison to this type of energy, scalar energy. So as a youngster, I studied Tesla, and I was enthralled with his work, and I learned, at least in theory, what he was doing. And it all made sense to me. It's wireless communication. And you don't have to create the energy, you harness it. The sun, the stars create the energy. So there's so many advantages from the get-go. Well, it's taken me a while, but with an engineering staff, we have developed scalar energy instruments. I'm in my laboratory, and I'm going to demonstrate those scalar energy instruments, how subtle they are, but yet how profound their work effort. Mm.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited to actually see some experiments and stuff like that go down too. But you mentioned that scalar energy is just so much more. It sounds like you're saying it's superior to like the typical energy that we use today. What do you call the energy that we use today? Not just to power our homes, but I mean, in general,
electromagnetic spectrum of electricity and magnetism. Okay. What I am speaking about is non-physical. There's no electrons whatsoever. And this is what I like about it. I think this is what Tesla liked. Tesla, at one time, had to depend upon an armature or some type of induction motor. Well, later in his life, Tesla had no moving motors or no motor whatsoever, because he was capturing the energy from the sun and the stars. So instead of building an expensive, tedious motor, why not just tap into the stars? This is what Tesla achieved.
Interesting. Okay. So it is like cosmic energy, it sounds yes. like, in a weird way. Now, this yes. sounds a little new agey. Does it have anything to do with like the new age, or where do you sit on that entire thing? I'm just curious for myself.
Yeah. How do you define new age? So I look at my work as grounded in science. I work with instruments. I'm going to show your audience the instrument that's functioning right now. I'm going to show the audience the instrument. This is a scalar energy instrument. So all of my delivery tonight will be grounded in science. This is not hearsay. There's no hyperbole. This is a scientific instrument that carries out and follows the laws of science. So it can be demonstrated in a repeated fashion that, yes, this is indeed valid. So let's just say that these are engineered instruments that follow the laws of science. We'll use that as if you will, the catch-all for the evening. Now, what really is keen is this. This scalar energy instrument is now broadcasting and delivering a signal to those Tesla coils behind me. It's so strong, just to demonstrate to the audience, the Tesla coils can illuminate a light bulb that I hold in my hand when I pass a flow spot. Okay? So wow. That's what Tesla called radiant energy. The ability is so strong in my laboratory. I feel the energy on my right shoulder. It can illuminate a light bulb. No problem. Okay. So that's what's the point here? Within this laboratory, specifically close to this instrument, it's a different physics. That's the key to my work. If I hold up a watt meter close to the instrument, there'll be no electrical current that registers, because we do away with electricity and magnetism. It is exclusively a scalar energy environment. And when you're working in a scalar energy environment, you have a different rule book. It's a new branch of physics. And what I really like about that, this new branch of physics, it transcends time and space. So that's an open-ended statement by my part. So what am I getting at? In practice now, when I work with these instruments, remember, it's not electricity. I work with photographs of people. This is my photograph. And by the way, my work was initiated by a great American scientist, Galen Hieronymus, who actually developed scalar energy instruments. He actually secured a U.S. patent for his instruments.
Say his name one more time. Sorry, you cut out there.
Galen Hieronymus was actually the original inventor, engineer behind these instruments. My instruments are takeoff from that of Galen Hieronymus. Hieronymus was born in 1895. God bless him. God rest his soul. In many ways, I've copied his work. And the Hieronymus family discovered that you could take a photograph of a person, and that photograph would carry their signal, their biological signal, their emotional signal. It would carry their blood type, would register the presence of viruses and bacteria. So what am I getting at? This instrument transcends time and space. Somebody could be 5,000 miles from my laboratory. Their photograph still reports their energy field. So whatever type of pathogen, bacterial infection or viral infection a person has, it's found on their photograph.
It's like an aura that you're describing.
Yes, thank you. It's the aura. It's their energetic copy. So people bilocate to my laboratory. So now follow me here. So this instrument, and only a scalar energy instrument, can pick up on the aura. A photograph is their bilocated copy. You can be in two places at once in the scalar realm. Why? Because we transcend time and space. Now, if I place my photograph inside a computer or inside an airplane, it's not a scalar energy force field. I'm not saying this to be facetious. If I place my photograph inside a scalar energy instrument, then I bilocate. And I don't have to visit a laboratory. My photograph instead, in substitution, goes to my laboratory for me.
And this is now, why some religions and some, like, we call them primitive, but maybe they're onto something. They don't like their pictures being taken.
Exactly. Thank you. That's you're right. And they're accurate in that. Now, they didn't have a scalar energy instrument, but I can guarantee you, when somebody submits their photograph to me, I have, if you will, access to their mind, body, and soul. And I mean that quite literally.
And that's creepy. If you take it very literally like that, right? It's yeah. a scary concept. It's powerful.
Yeah. Now, my predecessor in his heyday, Galen Hiron, was highly regarded by the United States government. At one time, he was working with NASA. And at one time, Galen Hieronymus started to work with, if you will, the Apollo 11 astronauts by way of their photograph. Hi, Galen Hieronymus. Thank you. And so what am I getting at? Even if astronauts are on the moon, orbiting in the moon, it doesn't matter. You can still make a connection with those astronauts by way of their photograph. Galen Hieronymus. So that proves, regardless of the distance, my predecessor, Hieronymus, was able to capture the aura, work with the aura of the Apollo 11 astronauts while they were on the surface of the moon. So this is the perfect way to track, if you will, astronauts or anybody in the world. It's the perfect tracking mechanism. Okay. So put all of this into context. This is where we've gone. This is what we've observed. All of this has been established. Again, this instrument behind me has a U.S. patent. So this is very much grounded in science. Now, what does it do? At the end of the day, I want to show that I can benefit humanity. So follow me. And this is how I would remove a pathogen. I'm going to hold up a photograph of Mycoplasma pneumoniae. It's a bacteria. This has a signature. Anything has a signature, a scalar energy signature. This photograph is a specific scalar energy signature or character. Call it what you will. If I place my photograph side by side this photograph, keep in mind this is not a chemical process. It's a sharing of energy. The two force fields, the two auras, communicate with one another. In the scalar energy realm, everything communicates. So my photograph and Mycoplasma pneumoniae communicate with one another. And in so doing, if I had Mycoplasma pneumoniae, this instrument would find the signal in me and eradicate or bring it to a state of chaos. So all I have to do, Ryan, is match up a microbe to the photograph of a person. And the instrument will do the work, not me, identify the signal, find it in me, and bring it to state of chaos. Actually, you negate the molecular bonds of Mycoplasma pneumoniae. Mm. This is the easy way that you find, identify, and eradicate microbes, germs.
Now, to be clear, to bring it to a state of chaos, that would mean to counteract it, or would that mean to trigger that disease or that disorder in someone?
Yeah, very good. To counteract. So we actually reduce it to a state of chaos. I believe in theory we negate the molecular bonds. So if there's intelligence that holds together that bacterium, we negate the molecular intelligence. And I've never been able to see this with my naked eye because what I'm working at is the microscopic level, sometimes the submicroscopic level. But every time I work with a photograph of a microbe, lo and behold, people tell me they no longer have the presence of that microbe. And I can prove that as far as testimonies so far. So consider what I'm saying. Whatever photograph of a microbe I have, this instrument will look at the character, signature of the microbe, identified in a person, an animal, or a plant, break down the molecular bonds, probably reduce it to a state of what we call molecular chaos, and the microbe falls apart, probably shatters into other types of proteins and elements. We call that transmutation, when you change one specific physical form to another. But the fact that I'm doing this through a photograph proves that my photograph is my substitution. And I don't need to work with people biologically. I can work with their energetic copy of photograph.
Well, and if you know this, clearly our government knows it. Why? I mean, is this why we're kind of moving? I mean, it seems like we could have done this a long time ago, but is this why we're kind of moving into telemedicine and things like this? Because I actually spoke with a lady, this is probably a year ago or so at this point, that focused on voices and frequency coming from voices, and she could pick up things based off of – she kind of blew our mind. She was able to point out health problems that are specific to me and my co-host at the time. What was actually wrong with us just based off her voice? So if the government knows this, why aren't they capitalizing off this? I mean, they could charge us for it. But why aren't they capitalizing? Why are they doing this Rockefeller medicine system versus what you're talking about here?
Yeah, you're right. And that's a good point. So let's be quite candid. The Rockefellers control the universities. The Rockefellers control the media. And as long as the Rockefellers can make money off the existing medical model, health model, call it what you will, then they will. Now, if what I'm saying is true and accurate, I think what I have to offer the world is unique, and I think there's a place for it. But thus far, and you can quote me, all of my work is shunned. All of my work is suppressed. And I'm not bashful about presenting my research. Well, I'll let your audience draw the conclusion as why my research has never seen the light of day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that we call it shadow banned. It makes sense if this was actually something, and it seems like there's something to it. Like I know that, you know, we're probably going to get into this later, but it sounds like you have hundreds, if not thousands, of testimonials from people talking about how this has benefited them. I heard you talking about HIV on one show where a bunch of people, and I want to say Tanzania, it was, correct me if I'm wrong, Tanzania are just like cured of HIV. This is probably what Magic Johnson did and why he doesn't have AIDS anymore, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah, you're right.
I'm gonna bounce all over the place here because I mean you said so many things that I've got so many questions for. Mm-hmm. First thing I want to ask you, have you heard of this individual? He goes by Charlie on Instagram. Charlie Rocket is his stage name, if you want to call it that. And I want to see if you believe in this kind of thing too, but he believes in quantum healing, which I know that this is what you're talking about, but he goes to basically like you meditate, you put yourself in a certain mind state and you can cure yourself of any disease. And he's done this. He had what they told him was an inoperable brain tumor. And he basically just meditated his way out of this. And it sounds unreal. It really sounds like, because we are indoctrinated with the medicine, you got to go in, you got to get chemotherapy when you get cancer, right? Which sounds like it makes you sicker than the cancer does almost, right? Have you heard of this guy? Have you looked into his work?
I have not, but I would construe that he's on the right path. Why? When you have emotions, those are scalar waves. So to bring this to a fuller context, our thoughts, our positive thinking, is a scalar wave. And when we can have those scalar waves, we can overcome, we can influence, we can easily influence the outcome. And if this gentleman has done that and overcome some type of cancer, that doesn't surprise me. He has mastery over scalar energy. If I can overcome a bacterium and somebody else can overcome cancer, that all points to an information system.
Yeah, it's fascinating. When I first learned about this guy, I was not even in the conspiracy podcasting world or, you know, anything like that at all. I was always a conspiracy guy. But I mean, he went on this, essentially it was a self-help podcast that he went on. And he used to be, I mean, morbidly obese. And he was in the music industry. He was a producer. This is an old picture of the guy, you know, super huge. I guess it's a video. But just, I mean, unhealthy, overweight, starts getting sick, apparently with brain cancer, and then cures himself. And it sounds like he tapped into something that you're talking about here. And he calls it quantum healing. Obviously, you're calling it scalar energy, but it seems like the two go hand in hand.
You're absolutely right. Sometimes I call this quantum healing. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Let me go back to an earlier comment. I'm holding this up just quickly for the audience. This is a test results that came into me a couple of years ago about the study I was doing in Tanzania. And I'm simply going to go through this study in which people who sent me their photographs, at one time they were HIV positive. And these are photographs of people that I received from Tanzania. And I worked with all of these people. This is documented on my website. Everybody that I've worked with in Tanzania no longer has a viral load for HIV. And I, by the way, I've never been to Tanzania. But according to these people who sent me their photographs from Tanzania, they feel great.
Hmm. And obviously they lived through this thing that we're calling COVID, right? I mean, this it seems like it would be impossible to survive with a weakened immune system during this thing. If like everything that we're being told about it's true, right? Which obviously it's not, but still, that's pretty incredible. And when I heard you talking about that, is this the most drastic thing that you've seen with the case of HIV, or have you dealt with cancer? Have you dealt with heart disease? Yeah. Have you dealt with things that more people suffer from? Not to discount that, because that's incredible. Just curious.
Yes, sir. Yes. No, I'm working specifically on microbes now. I hope to be able to branch out into cancer. That will be a different approach. I have to rely upon God's wisdom, but I'm not working with cancer yet.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it is interesting, and I'm sure it's refreshing to a lot of my audience that you mentioned God. And, you know, it's a fascinating concept. They're actually talking about this in mainstream medicine with liver cancer specifically. I'm not sure if you've heard of this, and this is why it's always interesting when the mainstream medicine starts talking about something that seems so fringe, right? What you're talking about, even though it's valid, seems fringe, right? To the outsider, to someone that hasn't looked into it, it's like, what the hell is this stuff, right? Why isn't it available already if it's so straightforward? And like you said, it's because they want to make money. But there is the same concept of the way that a frequency of some kind will break up kidney stones. They do this with liver cancer. They target a tumor and they shock it essentially, or shoot it with some kind of frequency, and it breaks up. Have you heard of this? It's like Hister something.
And yes, and that's been proven by sending some type of sonar or some type of frequency. You can break apart gallstones, kidney stones. Yes. So this is, again, which is a form of energy. Now, why do I like my work so much? It's fundamental. What do I mean? Energy, light is fundamental. So I'm working with the ability to have control or dominion over nature. When you really look at scalar energy, you see that it dictates nature. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. Scalar energy is in control of nature. So when I hold up a photograph of mycoplasma, or I hold up, say, a photograph of the HIV virus towards that instrument, the instrument will bring HIV to a state of chaos, will release its molecular bonds. The instrument will release the molecular bonds of this bacterium, Mycoplasma pneumonia. I have dominion. I've learned of a way to control, if you will, the germ kingdom, the animal kingdom, specifically viruses, bacteria, fungi. So I have mastery over microbes. And with that, I can eradicate microbes. At least I can prove that in my laboratory. And then subsequently, I have to rely upon people to send me a PCR test, a polymerase chain reaction test. Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm all about proof. So your listening audience, I want you to go to the website and you'll see thousands of testimonies from people around the world. I have no influence over those testimonies. Here's a testimony from a woman who was infected with the herpes virus. I never meet these people, by the way. I only work with their photographs. And after I work with this gal, she was kind enough to send me her PCR test, the follow-up after I work with her photograph, and the test says no viral load for herpes. Mm. Now, that's part and parcel. That's common. This is simple. This has gotten to the point where this is so common that it doesn't surprise me anymore. It's God's healing.
Now, did she send you in a PCR test from before you ran the test as well?
Yes, she had one before. Yes, yes.
She tested positive in that. And then, I notice you use a term. It's not negative. It's recessive, or what is it?
Yeah, not detected. No detectable viral load. Now, to be fair, you know, that's a test for a biological marker. The people submit that to me. Now, keep in mind, I don't work with biology. So does a PCR test match up with my work to a photograph? Well, who knows? Because my science is so new, there's no testing for a photograph, obviously. Okay? I'm not being facetious. So how do we test the efficacy of my work? Well, people do so by their testimony. So to be clear, there's no way to prove scalar energy exists or test, if you will, in an objective fashion, how it influences the aura, as you put it, or the force fields on a photograph. This is brand spanking new. my work is cutting edge. My work is, if you will, at the forefront of this quantum healing type of protocol. So I have to rely upon some other scientific group or individual, for that matter, to prove or disprove what I'm doing. Mm. Nobody's done that.
So essentially kind of like peer reviews, right?
Yes, yes.
So yeah. do you tell people to get into a positive headspace when they start doing this stuff? Like, obviously, all these different things are going to affect it. Or do you just say, simply send in a photograph and doesn't matter what you're doing, continue doing your, you know, carry on your bad habits, your smoking, your drinking, whatever it is. And I will take a look. Like, how do you go about that?
Yeah, per se, we don't ask people to change their diet or their lifestyle. We encourage them to live a normal, sensible lifestyle with good hygiene. But put it to you this way. I work with dogs and cats and elephants, and sometimes I've worked with kangaroos in Australia, and I've always had favorable outcomes with the animals. So that not only works, it seems to be working for with animals also. Hmm.
That's wild. So yeah, you obviously can't really tell them to change their mindset. That's what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, I wanted to see, we just got going. We started kicking off. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I pulled up your essentially, not really your mentor, but your inspiration, we'll call him, right? This, and boy, I told you before we started recording, I can't pronounce things that are over three syllables. Hieronymus?
Galen Hieronymus. Hieronymus.
Okay. Yes. I heard you say it a few times. Do you want to play? I mean, I found a 4-minute video. We can kind of, or actually there's a 2-minute little video.
Go ahead. Well, play it.
That looks kind of dumb, actually. Let's see. We got to go back to one that's like produced well. Okay. So yeah, I'd like to just see if we can find, you know, just to give a good breakdown of him, because it sounds like you said yourself, his work clearly inspired you to start looking into this. Yes. So I pulled this up and I haven't vetted this. It might be horrible. It might be great, but we're going to share it and give your comments. Feel free to jump in and interrupt this person because I do not know who they are. Okay. And I'll pause it and we can see how it goes. And give me a thumbs up if you can hear it, if you don't mind. Here we go.
Marcus Galen, born in 129 AD.
No, that's not pertinent. Multifaceted.
No?
That's not pertinent. No. Yeah, Galen Hieronymus is an American inventor. T. Galen Hieronymus, you're not going to.
Okay, so this isn't him either.
No, go back just to the 102. Yes, that's something I produced on him. Go ahead.
Oh, nice. Okay, perfect.
And click that, yeah.
Yeah, you should have told me this. We would have used the real stuff instead of.
He was my inspiration.
Awesome. Okay, yeah, and I see your website here, Scalar Light. Here we go. Here.
In 1949, a scalar researcher named Galen Hieronymus received patents in three countries for scalar devices that detected and measured the elements contained in people, plants, and animals. It seems all he needed was a photograph of the subject to determine its elemental makeup. He also discovered these photographs seemed to carry health information of the person or animal in that photograph. In conjunction with the U.S. government, Hieronymus monitored the daily health status of the Apollo 11 astronauts while they were in space, and even walking on the moon. Research shows that as vital signs and organ function changed hourly in the crew, their photos would likewise reflect the same changes. Galen monitored their photos daily from his USA laboratory. The study showed that while orbiting caused stress on their bodies, walking on the moon had health benefits. For more scalar science, visit www.scalarlight.com.
Yeah, that's much better. Whoever you had do that voiceover was better than the other person too. But, you know, so I got to point this out too, because half my audience is punching the air. A lot of people in the conspiracy world don't believe in the moon landing, right? I don't know where you stand on that, and it doesn't really matter, to be honest. But, I mean, are there other things that Hieronymus did that if, you know, if we're talking to people that don't believe in the moon landing, right, that you could convince them that you know, this guy was onto something here?
Yeah, he was well sought after by farmers, by lay people, even by the medical community. because people realized that he could pinpoint microbes and eliminate them, destroy them. Now, I've taken up in his work and I've expanded upon that, but it is indeed valid what Galen Hiron was achieved. And he had so many other experiments. He was able to, at one time, he was working with the U.S. Army. He was working with aerial photographs in the theater of war, the aerial photographs. And on those photographs, he was able to pinpoint where weaponry was located, or where soldiers were located on an aerial photograph. Now, keep in mind, if I can send energy into a photograph, into the aura, then a photograph of a battlefield will also show precisely where a tank or a jeep is located, precisely show where soldiers are located on that playing field. So you see, that's another application for this energy. The U.S. Army was very interested in this work. Now, I don't know why the U.S. government has not followed up with this. It's beyond me, but I continue on with this work. I'm only working. I work alone. I want to make this very clear. I have no allegiance to any other group. I just work for myself. I do this for the glory of God. I think it's best if I keep the entangling alliances, if you will. I don't have any entangling alliances.
Yeah, that's good to know. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, I in this field, in this conspiratorial field, and I mean, we go deep into some wild stuff. People always look into symbolism. I'm sure that, you know, 1,000 different people are going to point out things about your logo that scream conspiracy theory, right? Like the triangle with the DNA and all that stuff. I think it's great, to be honest. I think it's incredible. Now, did you design this logo, the DNA spiral? And why did you choose the colors, the teal and the purple? I think it's eye-catching.
Yeah, thank you. Well, in practice, I actually use a copper pyramid in conjunction with this instrument. I don't have that right now at my beck and call, but I actually use a copper pyramid that I surmount over one of the Tesla coils. And that allows me to achieve a certain geometry. Now, why do I use the double helix? Well, that's what scalar energy is. It's a double helix. I believe that scalar energy is, if you will, the life form of the universe. So the double helix of scalar energy produces downloads into our DNA, which is a double helix. Mm. I spoke to the wife of Hieronymus, a woman by the name of Sarah Hieronymus, and she said, Galen always thought that this moved in the corkscrew fashion. Corkscrew. Well, now this is before we had the advent of electron microscopes, etc. But lo and behold, it has scalar energy has been photographed. It is a double helix. It's the same ratio and proportion as our DNA. So what am I trying to import by that logo? That scalar energy is a double helix. And the best way to access that genetic code is with a copper pyramid. I use a copper pyramid.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. It's actually a great story. I wish that I knew that heading into this. That's really cool. Because, I'm a big logo person. I'm always looking for symbols and stuff like that. Now, before I continue asking questions, how do people get involved with this? Because I'm actually tempted. I'm kind of scared what you're going to find. Because when I talked with the lady about the frequencies, she could tell off of my voice that I wasn't interested in talking to her. It wasn't true. I felt like she was reaching a little bit. She was getting a little gutsy with her calls there. But I had a friend of mine on, and she was like, I can tell that he's interested in that you're just doing this for the content. And I was like, I was listening to her the whole time. So that's why I get a little scared when we do this stuff, because sometimes people reach. But if people want to get involved and they want to send their pictures in, do they just simply go to this scalarlight.com?
Yes, sir.
With the 15-day free trial, that's it?
Yes, sir. Yes, that's it. Upload your photograph. We'll send you daily email notices. We'll tell you what we're doing. We'll explain the process over that span of 15 days. And that's it. Then you decide if this has benefited you. So there's a lot to this program. It's much more than just removing microbes. Now, I'm going to go back to an earlier statement of yours. Sure. When I work with this instrument, there's no human reasoning. I don't interpret anything. I never mention anybody's biological state, their emotional state. I don't know it. The energy knows that. Now, this is very, I'm very keen on this. When I work with a person's photograph, the instrument, the energy, does all the work. There's no human reasoning. I never interject. I let the energy, which is flawless, energy never makes a mistake. I let the energy perform the healing. And that's what sets my work apart from other modalities, in which, in other, well, the healing arts, many times you have to use your intelligence, which is wonderful. And that's great. But that still is human reasoning that's subject to error, subject to, if you will, interpretation. As opposed to taking a photograph of a microbe and matching it up to my photograph, there's no human reasoning. The instrument, the energy, does all the work communicating those two auras, those two force fields.
Interesting. Yeah, now, I mean, you have the steps written out here. Step one, after registering, upload your photograph. A photo of your face contains a unique scalar light signature. This is the aura that we were kind of talking about here. Mm-hmm. This can be used to transmit and deliver scalar light energy to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so based off of that, and I know that you've probably said this, I understand things and hear things kind of weird sometimes. With that photo, you can actually like heal someone through the picture by manipulating, like, what do you do? Different frequencies around the picture? Is that how that works?
Okay. Well, let me just revisit this once again.
Yeah. Please.
This is a magnified photograph of a bacterium.
Right.
This has an aura, a signature.
Got it.
The instrument is going to find Mycoplasma pneumonia in me as a signature.
Got it.
It's going to work on that intelligence, that signature. It's not a chemical. All of my work is non-physical. So let's say there's a specific signal or signature that I have. That's
through the antenna that is your DNA. Yes.
Okay. Yes. And it simply removes it, obliterates it, reduces it to a state of chaos. So let's say you have a computer, you have a binary system, zeros and ones.
Sure.
And if you can remove those, obliterate that code, then it ceases to exist. There is no code. You with me?
It's like a double negative.
Yeah, so if we can wipe information, then we can wipe the character of a microbe. That's what I'm doing. I am eliminating, I'm eradicating, I'm annihilating the intelligence of a microbe. It ceases to exist as a microbe.
Wow. Yeah, and you said that several times, but after reading this step, it kind of clicked right there. So thank you for visiting that. My audience is much smarter than I am, Tom. I promise.
Yeah, you got a great sense of humor.
Go ahead.
I want to make this clear. Earlier today in my laboratory, I'm going to show you where we're going with this. Yeah. I was working with 500,000 photographs.
Half a million.
Yes. Okay. So this instrument can easily work with millions of photographs. In one day, I could easily work with 10 million, 20 million photographs.
Wow.
Okay. So this is quantum, in which we don't work with one person at a time. We can work with millions of people at a time. And if I can eradicate the signal of Mycoplasma pneumonia in one person, I can do that for 100 people, or I can do that for 1 million people.
Yeah, it's incredible. You just have to scale it up, right?
Yes, that's it.
I'm not intending to throw a pun out there, but yeah, scaling up the scalar energy like this. Yeah.
So that's one of the things that makes it so exciting. Now, keep in mind, Ryan, I don't rely upon satellites. There's no infrastructure here. So the energy is from the sun and the stars. It's free. It's clean energy. I don't need satellites. I don't need cell phone towers. I don't need any type of substation. All I need is a photograph that connects me to the universe. So not only is it free energy, it's a free infrastructure. I don't have the money to petition a government to ask them to put in a multi-billion dollar grid system.
Now, are you able to take someone's pictures off of their Instagram? Like, you know, if you don't have to send in a photo per se.
It's possible. Sure. It's possible.
And I would imagine most of these people email you photos, right?
That's correct. We ask people, you have to be at least 18 years of age.
Sure.
And when you send in photographs, make sure your family has your permission. And we limit it to just one time around. That way, we don't want people to send us the entire football staff. So it's 15 days of free sessions. You get one crack at it, and then that's it. Because it's been abused. So we limit it per email address. Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, it's great that you specify that because, you know, anytime I hear anyone talk, and this is nothing against you or any guests I've ever had on, I'm always trying to pick apart what they're saying and play devil's advocate, right? I always try to poke holes in it. And it seems 100% like you're saying, like you could pull these photos off of Instagrams. Everyone has pictures of them online. So this isn't going into some kind of AI database or something like that. It couldn't possibly be because, like, you know, we've said it several times. Photos are out there of everybody. It's just such a unique concept. It's very interesting. I wanted to run through this process real quick, and then it looks like you have a video down here that might be worth playing, it sounds like. But let's so step two, after you essentially, you know, take the photo, send it in, using your photograph, the unique scalar light instrument. This is the stuff that Tom is showing back here. Will transmit powerful scalar light energy and will administer scalar energy to you whenever you are wherever you are in the world. Scalar energy will reach you. Okay, so this is getting back to that quantum idea. And then we go to step three. While you go about your normal daily life, three unique light energy waves will be administered to your photograph using the scalar light, instrument. These are known as the spirit, the mind, and the body trinity sessions. Okay, so you're tapping into a little bit of some spiritual things here. People might think this is like the Holy Trinity type thing, but this is like a scientific trinity, it sounds like.
So it is. Continue.
Yeah. Spirit, mind, and body trinity sessions. Scalar energy will actively work with your body to balance the energy centers, break down unwanted substances, and assemble important elements for health and wellness. It's incredibly interesting. I gotta be honest. Well, let's play this video. It's only a minute long. Let's check it out. So we got healing. Imagine if the struggle could end. All of the searching, the research, the hope that you truly could feel better again. Imagine having ultimate health, energy, and wellness so that you can get back to enjoying your life and no longer suffer. What if you were no longer in pain, exhausted, struggling? And imagine if you could be if it could be as easy as it is fast. Now, do you have an app as well?
No. And why not? Well, we just want to centralize it to the website. I'm not international yet. Well, once we become well-known, we'll have different apps. But right now, no, to answer your question.
Okay. I was just curious.
Let me explain what I mean by emotional healing or spiritual healing.
Yeah.
By the way, I come from a Christian background. I want the audience to know that. If I place my photograph once again in the force field, there's a downloaded light. Okay? So the identical light that illuminates a light bulb is the same amount of light that's illuminating my mind or spirit. So I firmly believe that I'm working with divine energy, divine light. And that would construe a chakra balance or some type of improvement in our brain waves. So what am I getting at? For 1 hour a day, I illuminate people with this light, not the light bulb, but the instrument. 1 hour a day, people say that they feel a sense of elation. They're happy. They're euphoric. Many people say that they can give up cigarettes or alcohol because it's a download of instructions. Mm. Others have said that this has helped them with depression or anxiety. So as, if you will, a scientist, I have to say, what's the cause and effect? If I'm only working with a photograph, apparently that photograph is absorbing, taking upon itself this healing light, scalar light, and that is operating in the quantum realm, or we could say the spiritual realm, as you put it, the aura. That's having, if you will, an impact on their emotional state. I've had some people say that they had an emotional block and they were able to get over that emotional block after a month or two of the scalar energy session. So this, in my estimation, will be the tool for mental health issues moving forward. Wow. Not drugs, not necessarily counseling, but this, if you will, this rush of light, this rush of energy that will correct perhaps a chemical imbalance, that will correct a phobia or an addiction. I've had some people tell me, Tom, I gave up heroin cold turkey without any withdrawals. Now, who can say that? Who can say that they can give up any cocaine or heroin without any type of withdrawals or sweating or hallucinations? Well, because we're working at the light level, not the chemical level.
Now, how much does this cost after the 15-day trial?
It's $89 a month.
$89 a month, and how long typically does it take? Let's say for addiction, just to use something specifically. Let's say, like you said, heroin addiction. How long would it take for your treatment?
I've seen people have good results within 2 months. I'd say after 2 or 3 months, if you're not having satisfactory results, then stop it. Move on to something else. I've seen good results within 2 or 3 months.
And it sounds like you have told people, and this isn't, you know, this seems like an honesty thing. You've told people if it's not working after 2 months, move on, do something else.
It's, yeah, I want to be very fair with people.
Yeah, I mean, it's an honorable thing.
Yeah, I don't want to disappoint anybody. And that's why, by the way, I always offer everybody initially 15 days of free sessions. I tell people, don't spend a penny until you go through the free trial and you perform your due diligence, and then you decide if this is of merit and you want to go on. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm tempted to see. So can you do obviously a variety of things, like a total like health checkup type situation? Is that possible as well?
Let's just say that the energy is going to treat you from head to toe, including your aura. Now, I don't diagnose. I'm not in the medical field. And if you will, again, not to be facetious, there's no way I can adjudicate what problems 500,000 people have. I treated 500,000 people today by way of the photograph. So I don't want to get into any diagnosis.
Right. Okay.
Or interpretation call.
So you prefer people to come to you and kind of let you know what is wrong, correct?
No, I want people. I'd rather not know, because it's a privacy issue. And if I have people start telling me their medical issues, then this becomes, if you will, a medical protocol. I don't want that. Sure. And so I don't want to misrepresent myself. So to be quite candid, and again, I'm being quite sincere, I have nothing to do with the medical community. This is not a medical instrument. I work with the aura of a person, their force field. And I say that, now this is a joke. When was the last time you sent your photograph to the dentist? Well, you don't do that. So this is not a biological treatment. This is not a checkup at your general practitioner or at your dentist. It's a new science of working with auras or force fields.
Interesting. Now, have you had any legal troubles? Has anyone come after you?
No, because what I'm doing is perfectly legal.
Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes, I mean, we see people doing things that are well within the boundaries of the law and they get completely screwed over, right? I was just asking because it seems like this would potentially be a threat to the medical system.
Oh,
and
sure.
They don't like when you start dipping into their pockets, right? And not that you're making money off of this, but it's just, you know, you get what I'm saying. Like, this is dangerous stuff, it potentially.
Yeah, I will forecast that in the future, this will have a significant impact upon the health of people around the world. And with that, you're going to see an erosion of profits from the medical community, an erosion of profits from the pharmaceutical industry. That day is coming.
Now, I want to shift gears here a little bit, honestly, and talk about what you think COVID was. Now, I mean, we're hitting all the things here. We're talking about the medical industrial complex. We're touching all the no-no topics when it comes to them. What do you think COVID was, and where do you think it's going to lead people? Where do you think we come? Or let me say it like this. Where do we end up after all of this is done?
Yeah, I rely a great deal on Catholic mystics. I know a number of Catholic mystics. They were told repeatedly that COVID-19 is a man-made virus. Okay. And the purpose behind this was to destabilize the world and to reduce the world population. So this is a nefarious attempt. And by the way, the Ebola virus and HIV virus are likewise man-made, engineered viruses. Now, why is this happening? This is the easy way to reduce the world population and to destabilize the world. And who's behind it? Well, at the very top, it's the Illuminati.
Okay. So, I mean, it's almost like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right? If you're coming at it from that, you've got war, famine, pestilence. They always switch that. That's a Mandela effect to me. What is the other one? Antichrist, right? So, yeah. Like, these are all the different ways that you decrease the population. It's the four horsemen. War is a very easy way to decrease the population, and we might be heading into a big one. They always kind of threaten that. I'd like to, get away from that idea because I don't think that it's really happening. Famine, we see that a lot. And I mean, I tend to agree with you that this was a population decrease. A part of that agenda, it seems like, there's these things from like the Deagle report, which is no longer where, the American population specifically goes from around 300 million to, I believe, like 30 million, 500,000. It was something ridiculously smaller. So, I mean, why do you think that they create these things? Do you think that all of I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but do you think that there are any actual organic viruses that are out there? Or do you think that these are all created by man?
No, we've had viruses for millennia. So, but recently, the really nefarious viruses, I'll name them Marburg, Ebola, HIV, now COVID. Many of those are all manufactured viruses. Because there was no history upon them. Those viruses never existed. So those were man-made viruses. And you have to look at it from the standpoint, look what destruction a virus can do. Look what the HIV virus has done. And to this day, the Rockefeller medical monopoly makes a lot of money off of HIV drugs. You've reduced the world population. You've put fear into the people. And it's an easy way to achieve all of those objectives just by manufacturing a virus and then having the general population spread it, share it. I hope people are starting to get this. This is not a happenstance matter. This is a contrivance. This has been carefully orchestrated.
How long do you think that this has been the plan to bring this about in 2020?
Well, I don't know how far it went back, but we can see genetic manipulation. If you look at the HIV virus, they were manipulating that virus in the 70s, maybe even before that,
sure.
Because we had the technology then. So we're only going to see this at an accelerated pace. And to this day, the connection with whether this COVID was engineered in the laboratory in China or not, to this day, we don't have a clear picture from anybody as to how this originated or who was behind it. But indeed, if you look at the genetic composition, there's some things about this virus that say that more or less it was engineered. It was spliced together.
Right.
It's not what they call a wild type virus.
Okay.
There was some type of genetic engineering.
So yeah, humans dip their fingers in there at some point to weaponize it, right? I mean, it's bio warfare, biological warfare. I have so many questions. I keep forgetting like over and over again. I should start writing things down, to be honest. But I mean, my big thing about like what COVID is, because it seems like a lot of people tried to start, learning about frequencies and frequency healing. This is the first that I've heard about what you're doing, the scalar energy that, or this quantum healing. But people are more open to these, let's call them homeopathic ways of fixing things. And that might be, it might not be rather a proper label to give what you're doing. Does what you're doing fall under homeopathy?
You know, maybe energetically, and I'll tell you why. If homeopathy, you take and make a reagent of the actual acting reagent or tincture that causes the disease, and then you send the energy of that tincture or that reagent that combats the disease, so you're fighting like with like. Well, if I take a photograph that has a like character to the actual bacterium, I'm fighting like with like, so to speak. So maybe I'm practicing, if you will, homeopathic energy healing. Maybe you could say so.
Well, yeah, and it seems like they call anything that's not Rockefeller medicine homeopathy, right? Like it seems like that. I don't know if that's accurate, though. Again, you're the much more of an expert on this than I am. I'm flying blind here, but I find this fascinating. It is truly interesting. Half of my podcasting friends are all about this kind of this subject matter. Like they're all into just straight up, you know, getting away from the system when it comes to health. We get poison from our food. We get poison from the air, the water, everything. And I mean, it's just interesting. Do you see any limit to the applications that you have here? There's zero limit as of right now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because energy is fundamental. Energy dictates nature. So whatever we're going to discover with scalar energy, we'll realize it's the cause. It controls nature. So the greater our control over scalar energy, the greater our control over nature. I firmly believe that gravity, for instance, gravity is produced by scalar waves. And that if you can negate, if I negate a bacterium, you can also negate gravity and you can have a levitating platform.
So this is almost like you're getting into like the early stages of like X-Men. Like you think that like potentially people, well, and actually I don't think that you're that far off. It sounds crazy and it sounds funny to someone that doesn't really kind of look into this stuff. But, you know, if you're going to theorize about, you know, the master races of the old days, and I'm not talking about racism, I'm talking about like the different evolutions of man to where we were purely spiritual bodies at one point. And then we kind of, you know, I don't know, digressed or just gotten to the point where now we're doing this. We're talking on computers when, you know, maybe centuries ago, millennia ago, whatever, we were able to just communicate telepathically across the world or across the galaxy or whatever. I don't know where you stand on that kind of stuff. That's very new agey, but I still kind of believe in some of those kind of concepts.
Well, I do. For instance, telepathy. I believe telepathy is possible because it's a scalar energy function. So what am I getting at? Scalar energy allows us to access our one another's brainwaves, our thoughts. You've heard many people can think in tandem with one another. Do I think that's possible? Yes, it's a sharing of scalar waves. Mm. So whether it's a gift of prophecy or some people call that deja vu, how do you know that? A scalar wave, a scalar information wave gives you that knowledge. So telepathy, frankly, is a function of scalar energy. Once we understand that scalar energy controls all spiritual, cognitive, emotional, and physical action, scalar energy is the supreme force that decides everything in the universe, including telepathy, then you realize how important this research is. I am at the top of the pyramid. I make no distinction here. I have this ability to control, to harness the energy that controls the universe.
Well, guys, what do you think? I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. If you want to hear the rest, go to patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. We get into his influence, which he describes as a Catholic mystic influence. And we kind of go down some different rabbit holes here. It was a wild conversation. You can check out his work at scalarlight.com. He offers a 15-day free trial of his services, essentially. And hope that you'll check out both of our work. $3 gets you this episode and hundreds more, plus videos, all kinds of cool stuff. Thanks so much for the support, guys. See you at Patreon there.